وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear sisters, I hope and pray all is well at your end. You will be getting an increased status in your iman and taqwa, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us istiqamat in learning and teaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam with ikhlas and make us mukhlis. Ameen summa ameen. On behalf of Nurul Quran International Institute, the entire team of Journey Through Quran welcome you in a live session from Atlanta, Georgia. You understand, just 24th in Journey Through Quran. Time is moving so fast, and only a few days left for us to complete our desired goal and a set target, bismillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been so kind and merciful to us that He subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us this opportunity to learn and to teach. What a blessing. And we are so very thankful of this opportunity to serve you all. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we have been provided with yet another challenge, an opportunity to serve you all. We are super excited for our upcoming course, Sabilul Jannah 2020, Road to Jannah. The first course in English under the Nurul Quran platform, Alhamdulillah. It is aimed towards the young girls and women who prefer their course content in English. Alhamdulillah, our du'as have been answered so fast. We are so blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided us this opportunity to make our desires, our du'as, which we were doing during our journey through Quran, to honor. And say labbaik for it, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, all the details have been provided. So please plant a seed of your righteous deeds in this blessed month and commit yourself for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads of barakah in it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this commitment from us and reward us immensely for loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen and making its learning a priority. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, we saw an overwhelming response yesterday from all the sisters. Subhanallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads of barakah and, you know, do not delay it. When you, decided to join, then do not delay it further. Just commit right away. So the shaitan cannot, you know, make you delay or anything. He doesn't use his tactics to delay you further. So, inshallah, try your best to do as soon as you can. All right. We completed just 23rd in our journey through Quran yesterday. What was the theme of the juz? Anybody remembers? Be a thinker, subhanallah. You are all ready for it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The connection between the juz was, us upon keeping our tongues moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with deeper understanding and ability is granted by our Lord to observe the things with different perspective. Inshallah wa ta'ala, when you will join this course, the road to Jannah, inshallah ta'ala, you will experience that too. Bismillah. All right. In Juz, we started with Surah Yasin in continuation from Juz 22nd. And one of the most loved and recited surahs with great virtues. Surah started with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person of Iman is stating the fact that why shouldn't I worship my Lord who created me? And I know for sure I will return to Him one day. See, sisters, when Iman enters the heart, then it just doesn't sit there idle, right? It wants to come out. It wants to expose himself. And then, you know, just we just practice. So, and when guidance knocks at your door, you become hungry for others around you too. So what will be the action point for us? That may Allah will do dua, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a staunch believer. We ache to serve others with ikhlas and have the ultimate desire to save them. Such people are given the glad tidings of Jannah, Who doesn't want to go in Jannah? We have been, this is the 24th day, and for past 23 days, we have been, seeing the glimpse of Jannah. We have been listening. We have been experiencing, sometimes you're imagining. Then who wants to let go of this beautiful place? SubhanAllah. We learn 6 signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and might. We have to make ourselves productive like other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are serving us day and night without a pause in compliance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. We learned that everything on this planet earth has a pair, but our Lord is one and only and have no pair. Sun, moon, star, galaxies, planets, all are in motion. The question, where I am in this? We have to be a thinker. Quran becomes fun, your best friend, when you start pondering over it. So inshallah ta'ala, we will spend some time pondering over Quran too, inshallah. Then from Nuh alayhi salam story, we learn that the boat made with sincerity will suffice and will be saved. The horrors of the Day of Judgment, Israfil alayhi salam is so ready to blow the trumpet. Just imagine when everyone will be out of the graves and the trumpet will be blown. We will be standing in front of our Lord and our body parts will be either witnessing in our favor or against. Our ability to say anything will be sealed. SubhanAllah, when we know all of this, then won't we collect all we can? Won't we strive to do good as much as we can? Won't we work to make our akhirah better, inshallah wa ta'ala? So sisters, let's commit to the opportunity provided to us for learning the commandments of our Rabb in depth, inshallah wa ta'ala. We owe ourselves that much because we love ourselves and we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will be granted us this opportunity to do good, bismillah. We'll grant ourselves this opportunity because the blessings we enjoy today will not last long if we will not save them by being a grateful slave of our Lord, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the grateful slaves. Ameen, summa ameen. We will take question answer session at the end towards sister, please. Another beautiful surah, As-Saffat. Surah started with the scenes right after death. How our souls will be taken up in the skies. Won't we strive to make the transition to the other world a beautiful one, a pain-free one? We were told not to follow people blindly. Keep the amazing blessings, we will be honored in Jannah, inshallah wa ta'ala. Which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's chosen people, the mukhlis, will enjoy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us among those. Ameen, summa ameen. SubhanAllah, such glad tidings. And you, it's so amazing to just go through all of that. That it's the ultimate wish that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those. For that, we have to hop on the train ready to start its journey on the road to success, inshallah ta'ala. Right? Again, all the information has been given. We learned different du'as of the prophets and we learned that du'a is a tool to exit out from any difficult situation when we do this with sincerity of to our Lord, inshallah wa ta'ala. Next surah was Surah Sa'd. We were warned to let go of our egos. As a person with ego will be unable to accept the truth. Quran is a tazkir, a reminder, take it. We saw an amazing example of patience and determination in Dawood alayhi salam. He was a verb, action point. We will do hamd and shukr of Rabb. We'll bow down in sujood and we'll seek forgiveness from our Lord, inshallah wa ta'ala. Especially in these last 10 days, 10 odd nights, 10 nights, Today will be in the US, it's the first odd night, 21st night. Allahu Akbar, while exercising patience constantly, inshallah wa ta'ala. In Prophet Suhas, we saw the beautiful dua of Sulaiman alayhi salam, 3 duas he did. There is no limit or restriction in asking. ask according to your desires, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His rahmah according to His infinite capacity, inshallah wa ta'ala. He is the one who can remove all the trials. So don't despair. Just have some faith, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make everything easy for us, inshallah wa ta'ala. We saw Yaqub alayhi salam's patience. He didn't complain, nor lost hope. One thing we found common, that they all were akhirah oriented. All the prophets were akhirah oriented and didn't complain. Everything they dealt with patience, as complaints makes a person ungrateful. And we have to be, we just did dua that we will be, inshallah ta'ala, we will be chosen among the grateful ones. We were warned of Qiyamah, that the news is already making headlines, but how come people are not considering it important and are doing i'tiraz from it? They just do i'tiraz and they just turn away from it. I mean, they think it's not important enough because their actions shows a different story. Then we were warned about Shaitan again, that he is our mortal enemy. The next surah was Surah Zumr. We were reminded of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. We worship Him alone. We will not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is an unforgivable sin with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for us, a reminder that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands someone's chest for Islam, then will He reject it? We have to ask this thought-provoking question from ourselves. Just imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand our chest for the nur of Quran. Subhanallah. There's a thought, it just tickles. And alhamdulillah, we can feel the energy. And in order to process that energy, we will join Sister Faiza in Atlanta, Georgia with Juz 24th, bismillah. A reminder to myself, Ya Allah, open my chest for the love of You, for the love of Your book, and for the love of Your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and make us a permanent resident of this journey, inshallah wa ta'ala. So dear sisters, get ready, stay focused, and inshallah wa ta'ala, let's learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's try to open our chest and expand our chest, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us absorb as much as we can, inshallah wa ta'ala, and make it easy, this learning easy for us, inshallah wa ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asan jada. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah. Beautiful day, beautiful journey. And I don't know about you guys, but we have a beautiful weather right now. And we just had a beautiful news in our Nurkan Institute. Our one of the main admin, she just had a baby girl. And this is the day started with such beautiful news. Another opportunity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to spread the da'wah with this new person. More Muslim kids means more Muslims in this world. That means more khayr. Let's make du'a for her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring this child a lot of goodness and make it a salih and the coolest of the eyes of the parents. And this person, this admin of ours, she was busy working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until yesterday, last night till 10 p.m. I talked to her. And she was still doing work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this morning, 4 a.m., she had to go to hospital. And this is what it takes to be da'i. And this is what it takes to be a person who works in a way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? It doesn't come by itself. It is something that Allah bestows upon you. For who? For the one who actually wants it. She has been working as an admin for a long time for Nur al-Quran. May Allah truly bless her and her family for dedicating her time, her husband's time, and her kids' attention time she gives to Nur al-Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept her and bless her for this. Today, Juz 24, it's really amazing. We're going to learn something very beautiful in this Juz, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafir al-zam, meaning He is the one who forgives all the sin. And it is an amazing, amazing, amazing ayah. Once we get there, we'll learn about it. But for now, let's begin with the recitation. Let's listen to the first few ayahs of Juz 24, and then we'll begin our journey.
فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ إِذْ جَاءَهُ أليس في جهنم مثوى للكافرين والذي جاء بالصدق وصدق به أولئك هم المتقون لهم ما يشاءون عند ربهم ذلك جزاء المحسنين ليكفر الله عنهم أسوأ الذي عملوا ويجزيهم أجرهم بأحسن الذي كانوا يعملون
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, we start our juz with a beautiful mindset that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and that is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Thanks to Allah, all praise to Allah, that who has made possible for us to come and learn His book. Juz 24 is also filled with a lot of gems. Let's make the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to make the most out of it. And today's theme for Juz 24 is be a caller of deen, meaning to be a da'i. Da'i is the one who calls people towards Allah's deen. And today, this is the biggest jihad you and I can do. You know why? Because people are lost. Muslim ummah have the answer, solution to the problems of the whole world. This is why, if we can only understand the power we have it in our hands, and that is to connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, you and I need to become a student of knowledge. Once you become a student of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the door of mercy upon you and I. And then a person has this urge. This is what we learned in yesterday, just 23. This person, a mu'min, a believer, who was calling people and letting people, even if he died, after his death, he was wishing for the righteousness of his people. So this gives us enough motivation that we can be the one like that, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said salam and peace upon him. Because we have learned in yesterday's juz as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends peace and blessings to who? The one who works for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was mentioning his prophet, salamun ala al-mursaleen, salamun ala al-yaseen, and all other prophets. Imagine, when a person becomes a da'i, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in a category who's carrying the messages of da'is, of the prophets. So this is why today's theme is be a da'i. Let's make intention right now, O Allah, make me a da'i. Make me a da'i for my family first, for myself, for my family first. And once I have this iman in my heart, I want to make it visible to others. I want to do something about it. I don't want to sit home, just be an average Muslim. I want to reach the level of muhsin. For that, I have to become a mu'min first. And once I become a mu'min, I can become muhsin, and then siddiq, and then shuhada. And then this is the highest level, inshallah. So let's strive for that. This ayah in the Quran, in Surah Fussilat, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And this is the reason we want to be da'i. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and who is better in speech than one who invites to Allah? Is there anybody who can be better than that? People invite in this dunya towards all kinds of stuff. And they may be inviting towards the good stuff too. Like for example, if somebody is inviting you to do something good for the humanity, that's a good thing. But the best thing is when towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do this person does that? There are many ways to do that. And where it begins from person himself. first he has to believe in it. Only then he can have this urge. So inshallah, today we will learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so many things put for the person and the characteristics that is needed to develop and be a da'i. Oh, it all starts with the intention. Let's go to the next ayah and this next slide. And this is a du'a that's also come in this juz. So we're just going to recite this du'a first together. Why? Because this is an amazing du'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what are we saying in this du'a? It also comes in the same surah. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ أَدْنٍ لَّتِي وَعَدِتَّهُمْ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Our Lord, and admit them to gardens of perpetual residence, which you have promised them, and whoever was righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their offspring, indeed it is you who is the exalted in might, the wise. Beautiful dua, inshallah. Let's go to the next slide. And in that, we learn about the connection between Juz 23 and Juz 24 themes. And in Juz 23, we learn that we want to be a thinker because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many places in Quran, don't you think? And for that, we want to act upon that ayah. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us a thinker who can think about others too. You know why? Because once you become a thinker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up your heart, and when you develop this urge to share this message of Quran. Imagine if every Muslim have this urge. Today, 1.6 billion Muslims exist according to an estimate. Imagine if each Muslim just have this urge for one person only. Within no time, the number will be doubled. There is no magic in this math. 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. If you give yourself like 3 years to 5 years, you will be able to multiply people around you who can come to this Quran. But we just have to have intention. The night of power are starting tonight. This is one of the dua. This is a goal setting dua that you can ask for yourself that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to make a 5-year plan for myself and then 10-year plan and a long-term plan. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, if I have life, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me life, this is what I want to do. And you know what? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how to go about this plan, because we don't have any idea whether we can do this thing or that thing. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who puts these ideas in your mind. Successful people are those who actually look forward how they want to live their life. The people who live in this for this dunya only, they only plan for this dunya only. But people who are given the rushd, the people who are given the hikmah, they start thinking above and beyond. They don't just see what's coming next. They see what will come next in the hereafter. In other words, physically they are here in this world, but mentally they are not. And this is the mindset once a person have, only then he can become a da'i of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take me to Jannah physically later, but mentally now. So we can start longing for it. And once we have this desire, being a da'i is the best thing to do. Because you know why? Because now you are inviting others to be your friends in Jannah too. So if you have this mindset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy and facilitate for you. Now, let's go to the next slide. And in here, we're going to learn what are the main topics that will come today. 3 surahs we will cover. Surah Zumar, which is a continuation from the Juz 23rd. And then there's a Surah Ghafir. There's another name for Surah Ghafir, and that is Mu'min. In this surah, we will learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's special mercy and love for believers. This surah is really heart-changing surah. And once, inshallah, if for those of you who have signed up for the journey of Quran, the detailed one, you will love this surah. And for those of you who are still thinking and contemplating, make it dua, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. Because even if we want it, if Allah doesn't will, it's not gonna come. And this surah, Mu'min, surah Ghafir, is one of the surah that's heart-touching, that takes you out from the darkness of hopelessness. This takes you out from the depressions of life. It takes you out from the anxiety that people feel in this dunya. And the next surah we will cover is Surah Fussilat. Another name for Surah Fussilat is Hamim al-Sajda. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hamim, all the surahs, Hamaim, are very important surah. We learn why? Because in these surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so much. We learn in this surah. And what else we learn here is that about the Jannah, the descriptions of the Jannah. We will travel through the Jannah, inshallah. And then what else we learn? Human call upon Allah in need, meaning the psychology of human we will learn. And we will learn the importance of istighfar and tawbah. And we will learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us. So if we make decision for ourselves, so be aware that you are living for your own self. And then if we make decision for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that even then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. It is for our own good. And then we learn du'as are accepted. And never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an ayah that will come today. That ayah needs to be shared to people because it is also one of the tactics of shaitan, who makes you feel then such and such sin, there is no mercy. Then we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives anything and everything. Unless person doesn't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a different story. Then we learn there is only two options. There is no third option. And then body parts will speak for or against us. It's up to us how we want them to speak for. And then fear Allah only. You know why? Because this is how the oneness of Allah comes. And then we will learn about stages of fetus, the way fetus grow. Who were we and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it to be like the way we are. In the next slide, let's go and begin with ayah number 32 of Surah Zumar. What do we learn in this paragraph from ayah number 32 to 40? We learn that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough or not? This is the question you and I need to ask to ourselves, that whether we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be enough for me, or I still believe that I need other things in my life. Because you know what? Shaitan is constantly with us and he makes us believe that, you know what, even though you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you need this resource and that resource to be successful in life. Do you know who are the successful people? Successful people are those who actually think too much. Meaning, every time they say something, they think. Every time they have done saying something, they think. Did I say something right? Did I say something wrong? Could I have said it something better way? Or could I have said it in the same way? Or my decisions are affecting my life or not? So today, inshallah, we'll learn this juz with this mindset that I want to be a successful person. So first question that for that is Allah enough in our life or not? Let's begin with ayah number 32. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَّبَ مِمَّنْ كَذَّبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَذَّبَ بِالصِّدْقِ إِذْ جَاءَهُ أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْكَافِرِينَ. So, who is more unjust than one who lies about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and denies the truth when it has come to him? Is there not a hell, a residence for the disbelievers? As we have been learning in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks questions. You know why? Because this rhetorical style of questioning and the question which makes you think and compare is the very good way of teaching. In fact, this teaching method can be applied with our kids as well. Ask them question. Instead of telling them, go pray, tell them, should you pray? And if you pray, what's going to happen? If you don't pray, what's going to happen? Or stuff like that. You know why? Because now you are making them own the problem. You are making them own the stuff instead of you forcing them. Because let's face it, as humans, we don't like to be told. Do you like to be told? No, you don't. So this little people that are in our life, that we call them kids, they're also young people. And they have the mindset too. And they don't like to be told either. So the best thing we can do to them is instead of forcing them what we want them to do, ask them, why should they do it? And this is the best kids raising technique, because remember, why are we learning this Quran? So we can raise the ummah, ummah al-wasat, who can be the leaders of the muttaqeen. Alhamdulillah. Say alhamdulillah, we want to do that. And the one who has brought the truth, that is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they who believed in it, those are the righteous. Say alhamdulillah, we believe in Allah and we believe in Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will have whatever they desire with their Lord. That is the reward of the doers of good. Have you noticed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this word muhsineen a lot? How many times we have already think about becoming a muhsineen? Because becoming a muhsineen is not an easy thing to do, but it is something that is doable. And you know what? Just like when we have these ideal figures in this dunya, because our kids and us don't know what to idealize for, this is something to be idealized. A muhsin. Imagine this picture in your mind. Who are muhsin and what kind of qualities do they have? We learn from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam these four qualities a person who is muhsin has. Number one, he is good with amana. He is trustworthy. He takes care of trust. And number two, he is truthful. So let's see, we can all judge ourselves that do we take care of amana and are we truthful? And number three, he has best of the manners. And number four, best to their neighbors. Speaking of neighbors, today, how many of us actually know even what kind of neighbors exist around us? Just because we may live in a place where all the neighbors may not be Muslim around us, does that mean we should not care about them? Because Islam teaches us to take care of neighbors, and we learn from a hadith, the meaning of the hadith is that if the rights of neighbors are so much so that if it was like as if you should be giving them inheritance too. So if we know this hadith, then how come we don't know who lives across the street? How come we don't know if something going on to in our neighbor's house? You know, just like in the month of Ramadan, shaitan is chained and Muslims are able to do more ibadah. Similarly, shaitan is chained for everybody. So they are more receptive to listen to you. So if you know their phone number, call them. If you don't know them, leave a note in their mailbox. Why not? Let them know this is the month of Ramadan and I am here to help you. And this is how you can start being a da'i right this very moment. Alhamdulillah. And then what else we learn here in this ayah? That lahum وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقْ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Did I do this ayah? Yeah. And the one who has brought the truth, that is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they who believed in it, those are the righteous. They will have whatever they desire with their Lord. That is the reward of the doers of the good. That Allah may remove from them the worst of what they did and reward them their due for the best of what they used to do. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't waste anybody's effort. And then, Alaysallahu bikafin abdahu. Highlight this part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question to you and I. Is not Allah sufficient for his servant? Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for his prophet, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us too or not? And yet, they threaten you with those they worship other than him, and whoever Allah sends stray, for him there is no guide. And whoever Allah guides, for him there is no misleader. Is not Allah exalted in might and owner of retribution? Can we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be my guide? You know why? Because when we follow people, they may mislead you in any direction, but when we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our guide, then inshallah, shaitan will not distract us. And وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And if you ask them, who created the heavens and the earth, they would surely say, Allah. Say, then have you considered what you invoke besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Look at the questioning style. constant question. These are the questions we need to talk in our daily life too, with our kids, with people around us. And if Allah intended me harm, are they removers of His harm? Or if He intended me mercy, are they withholders of His mercy? Say, be beautiful, Hasbi Allah. Can we say it now? Say it. Say it together. Hasbi Allahu alayhi yatawakkalul mutawakkilun. Sufficient for me is Allah. Upon Him alone rely the wise reliers. Are we the wise reliers? You know, tawakkul is something that we need to ask and make dua for. Tawakkul, what the meaning of the tawakkul is, that to live a balanced life. Meaning, have enough effort, yet have tawakkul with it. People either go in either extreme, and that's when they lose the tawakkul on Allah. Tawakkul is something that takes you out from the deepest regrets. Tawakkul is something that takes you out from any other problem that you might be facing. Because when we rely upon our own efforts, then things don't work out. People say, I am raising my kids by this and that. I am doing so much effort. My child is going to grow up to be a pious person. Wrong. It doesn't work like that. And people say, I don't have to do anything. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, they can guide my kid. But no, that's also wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, you have to do your work and then you can rely upon me and then I will take care of it. Say, O my people, work according to your position, for indeed I am working and you are going to know. What do we learn in this ayah for ourselves? The lesson we can learn is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you whatever abilities, skills, time, effort is given to you. Your position is whatever it is in your family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about that. If you are given a higher level in a community, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about the community too. If you are given even higher position, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about that too. To whom will come a torment disgracing him, and who on whom will descend an enduring punishment? So what did we learn in this paragraph? Tawakkul Allah. Hasbi Allahu alayhi yatawakkalul mutawakkilun. And difference between truthful and liar. The one who's truthful cannot be the same as a liar, right? And we have learned the qualities of the Muhsineen. And what else Muhsineen do? They do good. They are sincere. They have best manners. And they do everything according to sunnah. And they have khushu, meaning they have khushiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. O Allah, make us among Muhsineen. The one who stays patient during hardship, Allah helps them. This is a very good rule we learn here. During hardship, we have to stay patient. Only then Allah's help will come. When people complain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's say, you know what, let them be. If a person is on the truth, then they stay steadfast. So what we learn here is that we must be on the truth. Only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with istiqamah. Then the next paragraph, ayah number 41 to 52, we learn that sleep is a sister of death. We learn this in a hadith because the ayah will come in here on ayah number 41. Let's begin. Inna anzalna alayka al-kitaba lin-nasi bil-haq. Indeed, we send down to you the book for the people in truth. So whoever is guided, it is for the benefit of his soul. And whoever goes astray, only goes astray to its detriment. And you are not a manager, that is the authority over them. Allah takes the soul at a time of their death. And those that do not die, He takes during their sleep. Then He keeps those for which He has decreed death and releases the other for a specified term. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought. What this ayah number 42 is telling us that every night when we go to sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the soul away. We have two, you can understand this the way that we have two parts of our soul. If one part, both parts goes and one part come back and then we wake up in the next morning. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not send the soul back and the person dies in its sleep. Have you ever heard the news that person, he went to sleep and never woke up? So do you know, when we go to sleep, we should be worried about it. What if we don't get up? This is why it is important before going to bed. Free your mind from everything, meaning forgive everybody. and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you and I never know if we're gonna wake up and make it to the next day. It is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decide not to send the soul back. Isn't it possible? So every night, clean your heart from any and all grudges. Forgive everybody before going to sleep. And of course, follow the sunnah of sleeping and say the dua of sleeping that Prophet ﷺ used to do. And Prophet ﷺ used to clean his bed. He used to take care of the bed. And by cleaning his bed means like making the bed so that there's no nothing inside the bed. Now today people say, oh, our bedrooms are clean and covered. We don't have anything that can harm us inside the bed under the cover. Well, even if that's the case, do so anyway. You know why? Because it's a sunnah. You are doing it for sunnah, not because you really want to do it because you want to clean it or something. Prophet ﷺ used to clean his bed before going to bed, and he would sleep from the right side, and he would say all the azkar, and he would make the dua. So if we want to love Prophet ﷺ, then we need to follow all these things, right? And another thing we learn here is that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why we learn in the hadith that sleep is a sister of death? Because what if this doesn't come? Sleep is basically like a death, mini death. People don't understand that, but it is like a death. So what we learn here is that every day we have, it's a new life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are waking up this morning, say Alhamdulillah, because it's possible that you would stay asleep. And or have they taken other than Allah any as intercessors? Say, even though they do not possess power over anything, nor do they reason. Say to Allah, belongs the right to allow intercession entirely. What do we learn in this ayah? If Allah doesn't will, nobody can intercede on your behalf. And people say, you know what, let's go to this pious person, let's hold on to his shirt, let's hold on to his amama, his clothing, so he can make dua for us and we are forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying clearly in this ayah, to Allah belongs the right to allow intercession entirely. To Him belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and then to Him you will return. Meaning, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want somebody to intercede on your behalf, they will not be able to. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving this ability to do shifa'a. And this shifa is an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to His Prophet. Because in this dunya, prophets are not liked. In this dunya, prophets are the one who suffers the most. And this is why on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them honor in front of everybody, to all the prophets. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given this honor to intercede. But you know what? The decision is only Allah's. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives the permission to intercede on anybody's behalf. It's like this. You know, when there is some kind of a graduation ceremony going on and there are too many gifts and certificates sitting on a counter, and then you invite a guest speaker and you say, your guest of honor will give and pass on these trophies. So when you pick up the trophy and give it to the guest of honor, and he's the one who distributes it, does that mean that guest of honor makes the decision to who the trophy is for? No. So whoever is just relying in this dunya that I'm going to be intercede in, Prophet ﷺ will intercede on my behalf, they should know that you have to have some qualification and the decision is Allah's. How can be two people be same? The one who works for Allah and the one he doesn't. The one who is kafir and the one who's a believer. The one who goes out of his way to please Allah and the one who just stays in a basic. You cannot have the same result in this dunya. If two people are sitting in the same examination hall, one person is doing the paper because he has studied it, and for one person who didn't, do you think they get the same marks? If they don't get the same marks in this dunya, then how can we expect the same result in akhirah? A thief who can do all the stealing and he also wishes for the Jannah, he also makes dua for Jannat al-Firdaus. And then there's a pious person who's living all day and night working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's asking the same dua. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept whose du'as? The one who's actually trying, at least, right? So we need to really clear this concept of shifa in our mind. And when Allah is mentioned alone, the hearts of those who do not believe in the hereafter shrink with aversion. May Allah open up our chest with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when those worship other than Him are mentioned, immediately they rejoice. Meaning, people who do shirk, Allah SWT make them rejoice in their shirk. They don't realize it that they're doing shirk. This is why you see people doing shirk in thousands of numbers. And people have no idea. All these people who may be mukhlis for their deen too. All these Christian people who are doing the biggest shirk by calling Isa alayhi salam the son of God. And they are sincere to their religion. They're doing a lot of good. But Allah SWT is saying they don't know. This is why Allah SWT said they rejoice in their shirk. They think this is the best thing is happening to them. And they are the one who are more active da'i than the Muslims. Why is that? Because they are mukhlis. They're sincere to their deen. And you know what we can learn? If we are mukhlis and if we want to become mukhlis that we learned yesterday, then we have to be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you rejoice in whatever people do. And if you ask them, are you missing out on anything? They say no. Say, O Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth, knower of the unseen and the witness, you will judge between your servants concerning that over which they used to differ. And if those who did wrong had all that in the earth entirely and the like of it with it, they would attempt to ransom themselves thereby from the worst of the punishment on the day of resurrection. And there will appear to them from Allah that which they had not taken into account. And there will appear to them the evils they had earned. And they will be enveloped by what they used to ridicule. People can ridicule religion in this dunya as much as they want. But they will be enveloped in their own ridicule. And they will be suffering in their own yastahzi'un. Meaning, when you make fun of others, that thing comes back to you. Very, very careful lesson we can learn from this is that never make fun of deen. Never make fun of those who follow deen. People are very quick and easy to make fun. Oh, look at them. They have nothing but good to talk about except for deen, except for Quran. They are such boring people. And when adversity touches a man, he calls upon us. Then when we bestow on him a favor from us, he says, I have only been given it because of my knowledge. Rather, it is a trial, but most of them do not know. Here we can take an action point ourselves. Whatever adversity touch me, what do I say? What is my attitude? And whatever goodness touches me, what is my attitude? A believer is the one who lives a balanced life and who is happy in both situations, who remembers Allah in good time. You know why? Because the person who remembers Allah during good times, when he has some bad times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes his hardship. Those before them had already said it, but they were not availed but what they used to earn. Ayah number 51. And the evil consequences of what they earned struck them. Meaning, sometimes when problem comes, it is because of the evil that people do. And those who have wronged of those people will be struck, that is afflicted by the evil consequences of what they earn. And they will not cause failure. No failure they can cause to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do they not know that Allah extends provision for whom He wills and restricts it? Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe. We should have this concept very clear that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives somebody more and somebody less. People say, you know what, because of my uncle, because of so and so in our family, I had losses in my business. Because of my business partner cheated on us, this is why I had losses in my business. And people always find reasons why they have losses in their risk. People don't find that this may be something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. No matter how much risk effort people can do and still they don't get job. You know, there was a Time magazine once upon a time I was looking at it and the cover page has a long line and people were looking for a job and they were waiting in line. And it says, the article said, all these people who are waiting in line to get the job, they are those who have all these degrees, all these good university background and all this education. But guess what? When the recession happens, even good people with a lot of degrees are looking for a job. Today we see that, right? So what do we learn from that? Risk does not come from universities. Risk does not come from any other way. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we see two people applying for a same job. One person gets it and one doesn't. And do they not know that Allah extends provision for whom He wills? So what did we learn in this paragraph? We learned that intercession is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Every day we're given a new life with Iznillah. And if people rely on Allah for rizq, Allah provides for them. Allah provides for them from ways beyond imagination. Every other thing becomes a second paycheck for them. For example, they will find good deals. They will find, and they spend half the money, or else they would be spending double the money to buy the same thing. Allah gives barakah in them, the time that they don't have the job, and they still get to eat food. It's just, you know, sometimes people really underestimate the power of Allah giving the rizq. And when they're going through hard time, they started asking people, they started feeling regrets in their heart. How come Allah SWT is putting me through this? And this ayah really opens up the heart and love of Allah. You know, when a person has utmost tawakkul upon Allah SWT. And then we learn death is of two types. Sughra, meaning small death, that we go through every night when we sleep. And the kubra is a big death. From that death, nobody comes back in this dunya. And same to us before sleeping. If you go to the next slide, we learn this hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Bukhari 6:3 said, when one of you goes to his bed, let him dust off his bed with the inside of his lower garment, for he does not know what came in onto it after he left. This is a sunnah. This is why we should do it. But also today, science have proved that when a person sleeps, during sleep time, he sheds dead cells. Our skin sheds dead cells. So we may not be able to see those dead cells, but they are there. Everything is sunnah, has logic too. But you know what? We should not do it for logic. We should do it because it's sunnah. And then there are many du'as that are from Sunnah that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, and this is one of it in Muslim 2083. Bismika Allahumma amutu ahya. In your name, O Allah, I die and I live. And of course, there are many other du'as that we can really memorize. In the next paragraph from ayah number 53 to 63, we learn the doors of mercy are open. And this is the ayah, it's going to come in today in this session. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Meaning, do not ever despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful section. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful. What do we learn in this ayah? In this ayah, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying people may commit some israf. What is israf? Israf is when you go overboard. Israf is something that you could do extra, which you're not supposed to be doing. Israf could be in any form, like doing excessive sins, like doing major sins, like involving in something that was really destructive, like going and being part of something that is really against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Maybe it has some kind of a shirk in it. To people who do sujood in the grave, maybe they are the one. If they come back, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying even they are forgiven as long as they come back. People commit big huge crimes, and shaitan makes them say, you know what, now since you have committed such big crimes, now there is no forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a famous story, the person who killed 99 people, he was a murderer, and can you imagine, he killed 99 people, and then he went to somebody and he asked that, am I going to be forgiven? That person said no, and then he killed that person too, might as well do one more sin. Now he did 100. And you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even if you do 100 murders, or no matter how big of the crime people do, when you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is merciful. There is hope in this ayah. There is so much mercy in this ayah. In fact, this ayah takes over the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even before making this earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote on a throne that His mercy takes over His ghadab. meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, extremely merciful. Never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People nowadays sometimes say, you know what, ya Shaykh, they go to Shaykh and they ask this question, I have committed such and such crime. It may include zina, alcohol and all kinds of major sins. People are involved in interest. People are involved in shirk. People may be involved in all kinds of filth in life and they feel very dirty and ashamed to go in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never be ashamed of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. Listen to anybody, everybody, whoever comes, no matter how much filth. In this dunya, when people do something wrong and when they come to us and we say, you know what, now we're not going to listen to you. This is enough. I'm not going to talk to you. I can't forgive you. They did this to me. They did that to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Despite of committing major evil, when people come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do you feel the love of Allah in your heart when you say this ayah? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Because there was this mother and she said, her son was not actually practicing Islam and he was going all the way in the other direction. And she would cry and cry and cry. And then she learned this ayah, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring Umar radiallahu anhu to Islam, he was the one who was enemy. He had a sword. Can you imagine to kill Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But when he came to Islam, what did he become? A source of Islam, a power of Islam, a sword of Islam. Why? Because never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nothing good is going to come to people's life. You may find people doing all kinds of stuff. You may find them in a left field, leaving Islam, but never, ever, not for a single second, you should feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them be the way it is. It is that du'as are very powerful. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Whenever you make du'a for yourself, say it, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Whenever you make du'a for someone whom you know that they're going stray, make du'a, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Have this yaqeen in your heart that they will come back. I heard the story of this mother. This is a true story. And she had two daughters and she was very good, pious mother. And she did everything to raise her kids the way she wanted to, in accordance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested her through this. And both of the girls went stray when they were in their teenagers. And she had so much belief and trust in tawakkul ala Allah that never, not for a single second, she was despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time when people would talk about point fingers, look at her, she's so pious and look at her kids and they are going all stray. And she would say, no, I know for sure they will come back. She had this yaqeen in her. You can see and hear this yaqeen in her voice. You know why? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. She said, I know my Allah will never let me down. It took 5 years for those girls, both of them, and they came back to her. They came back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. And during those 5 years, they did everything that a person shouldn't be doing. They did everything against Islam. They did involved in all kinds of filth in their life. And yet they were guided. They came back. You know why? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Say it, feel it. And if you know somebody in your community who may be going through some kind of a depression of something, you should share this du'a. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Allah can change your situation. Allah can forgive your sin. Allah can bring you back. There is no turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no such thing. Only those who have arrogance in their heart, they are the one who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are the one who says that there is no hope in them. This is why shaitan stayed shaitan. And a person who does not have arrogance, they believe in La taqnatu min rahmatillah. And return in repentance to your Lord and submit to Him before the punishment comes upon you. Then you will not be held. Because once the punishment comes, then you will not be held. But you have to come and repent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the acceptor of repentance. And follow the best of what was revealed to you from your Lord, that is the Quran, before the punishment comes upon you suddenly while you do not perceive. Notice here, when people are too busy, that's when the punishment is going to come. May Allah give us enough understanding of this ayah. Lest a soul should say, oh, How great is my regret over what I neglected in regard to Allah and that I was among the mockers. Try to feel the hasra in this ayah, ayah number 56. Antaqula, who is saying that? Antaqula nafsun ya hasrati alama faradtu min jambillahi wa in kuntu laminal sakhirin. Lest a soul should say, oh, how great is my regret over when I neglected in regard to Allah. People who will not make it to Jannah, people who will be going to hellfire, they will be saying, woe to me. Look at the hasra in their voice. You can almost hear it, that they are regretting by neglecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we have good Muslim brothers and sisters, but they are neglecting it, not because they want to, just because they don't know. This is why you and I need to become da'i of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we want to save everybody around us. Don't we love our family? Don't we love each and every family member? These 10 nights of Ramadan, make dua for them to they come to Quran and they get to know the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like you are blessed with this. And you know what? You think something special about you, that's why you're sitting here? And I? No, there is nothing special about me, nothing special about you. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we're sitting here. If we consider this as a mercy, then we should be really, really having this urge and desire to bring others with us too. Because then, if we don't do that, there will be a lot of loved ones from our family maybe, may Allah protect us all, that they will have this hasra. So, it is better that we be upfront and bring other people with us in this dunya. Let's make dua for everybody. I'll give you 3 second pause right now to make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us, all of us, to Quran. Or lest it say, if only Allah had guided me, I would have been among the righteous. Meaning they will say, if Allah had guided me, I would be among the righteous. You know what? Guidance is there. It's for people to take it, and then they cannot blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. Or, lest it say, when it sees the punishment, if only I had another turn, so I could be among the doers of the good. Look at the regrets, one after the other. I would be accepting it, I would be following it, I would be the doers of the good, I would be among the muhsinin. Question. You and I are given this time right now to become a muhsin. Do we want to save ourselves from regrets? Then let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly develops all these qualities of ihsan in ourselves. But yes, there had come to you my verses, but you denied them and were arrogant. They will be told this, that yes, the verses came to you, but you denied them. And you know what? Because of what? Arrogant. And you were among the disbelievers. You know, a sinner can come back. A person who may be doing any kinds of sin and they may be lost in sin, maybe they are buried in sins, they can be guided. But do you know who cannot be guided? The one who has arrogance in it. This is why Fir'aun was not able to be guided. Those magicians we learn in the story of Musa, they were sinners, they were doing magic, but they did not have arrogance, so they were guided. Fir'aun at the same time was sitting right there. He was not guided. May Allah truly save us from any and all kind of arrogance in our heart. And on the day of resurrection, you will see those who lied about Allah with their faces blackened. Is there not in hell a residence for the arrogant? Meaning, people who have arrogance, because of that, they'll make it to Jahannam and the faces will be blackened. Why? Because of the darknesses of dunya. You know why? Because they chose to live darkness in the darkness in this dunya. And then they never felt that there's something that they are missing. And because of that reason, their faces will be dark in there too. You know, it's today's culture when we see, if you dim the light, you don't see the dirt, right? When the vacuum is not done and if the light is very low, you're going to find that the room is clean. And the minute the daylight happens, you see, oh no, this is so dirty. So sunlight is the one that shows you the dirtiness. When you go out, you say, oh, my clothes are dirty, my hands are dirty. And when you're inside sitting in the dark room, do you see the dirt? No, you don't. No matter how dirty your house may be, but if it's a dark light and dim light, this is why they have these dim lights in these pubs and bars and stuff, because they don't want to see the dirt and filth what they are indulging themselves into. And when the sunlight comes, it shows it all. Quran is a sunlight. It opens up to see, opens up and make us see the sins and the faults in our life. Quran is basically a magnifying glass. It magnifies and it opens up and it makes you see the right from wrong. It makes you see from the dark from light. And may Allah make us among those who can actually see this light right now in this dunya, so we can be, our faces can be bright. Because faces is something we worry about too much in this dunya. All people talk about faces from the time the baby is born until the time the baby died. When the person dies, you know, when the baby is born, say how cute, and when there's a teenager, how beautiful, and when there's a bride, how pretty her face looks, and when the person dies, people make all kinds of judgment. Look at the face, it's blackened, maybe he was a sinner. How can you and I say something about people's akhirah? We don't know anything. So refrain yourself from judging when you see a dead body, instead of passing judgment and comment. Remember your own death, because how we are going to be. And people are very quick to say, how, what a beautiful face is a dead body this person had, because of maybe a soiling or something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this shine on the face because the skin is stretched or something. People say, wow, this person is going to Jannah. Who are you to make a decision for that? How do you know for sure? So don't talk about faces too much, because people only live in this dunya and they comment. They comment about things that which they have no control over. May Allah save us all from this attitude. And Allah will save those who feared Him by their attainment. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save who? The one who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really give us fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhbat. What is the word for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Khashiyah or an or ikhbat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us these qualities. No evil will touch them, nor will they grieve. And Allah is the creator of all things, and He is over all things, disposer of affair. What do we, and to Him belongs the keys of the heavens and the earth. And they who disbelieve in the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is those who are the losers. So what did we learn in this paragraph? Never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to highlight this ayah, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله, and keep it somewhere so you can actually see it and share it with others too. Think of any sin that you may have, any kind, whether small or big, no matter what it is. And think of this ayah now. And let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now, right this very moment. Oh Allah, forgive such and such thing. I know this mother who went through abortion, even though at that time she didn't know about the abortion was such a severe sin, but she went through it, and that really bothered her throughout her life. She was always regretful. Why did I do this? And then she learned this ayah, La taqnatu min rahmatillah. And now she has peace in his heart, in her heart, because you know what? She did this crime when she was unaware, but she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive me. After learning this ayah, she's calmed down. She says, yes, I know. I made a mistake, but I am admitting my mistake, and cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me. So you can do that right now. 3 seconds pause. And then, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. We learn turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because when a person turns towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves that person. And وَأَسْلِمُوا. This is the next step we learn in the same ayah. We learn that these are the steps that we take, right? Anibu and wa aslamu. Return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next step is wattabi'u. Meaning, all these, this is ayah number 54 I'm talking about. Wa anibu ila rabbikum wa aslamu lahu min qabli an ya'tikum al'adhabu thumma la tunsarun. And return in repentance to your Lord and submit to Him before the punishment comes upon you. All these steps are needed, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Let's go to the next paragraph, ayah number 64 to 70. They have not appraised Allah with the true appraisal. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. How many times this ayah comes in Quran? Many times it has already come, and it will come again too. You know why Allah reminds us this ayah again and again? Because people really don't give the due haq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is like, you know, when a mother, there is no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when a child disobeys mother, she said, you know, he's not giving me my due haq, my due right. I bear him 9 months, I fed him, and now he's grown up man and he's left me, and he doesn't visit me, and he doesn't talk to me, and he doesn't give me time, and this makes mother sad and upset. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They have not appraised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with true appraisal, meaning people really don't know the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why they're not able to give that to you, haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 64, say, O Prophet, is it other than Allah that you order me to worship, O ignorant ones? And it was already revealed to you and to those before you that if you should associate anything with Allah, your work would surely become worthless and you would surely be among the losers. Rather, Balillah, fa'bud wa kun minash shakirin. Worship only Allah and be among the grateful. Can we make this our motto of life? Be among the grateful, because when we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up the hearts. They have not appraised Allah with a true appraisal, while the earth entirely will be within His grip on the day of resurrection. Try to imagine that. This earth that we walk on, this will be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of it. It will be inside the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of resurrection, and the heavens will be folded in His right hand. All these heavens that we see, these big huge skies, they will be folded in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to make us imagine how big and huge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. If He can hold this all the heavens in His right hand only, can we even imagine? This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Exalted is He and above what they associate with Him. And the horn will be blown. وَنُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ. This sur, the horn will be blown, and whoever is in the heavens and whoever is on the earth will fall dead, except when whom Allah wills. Then it will be blown again, and at once they will be standing looking on. Don't you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making you go through the end now, so you can imagine and really prepare for it? This trumpet, the angel who is holding the trumpet, is already ready. It is like if it has in its mouth, sitting ready, and its eyes are towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's waiting for the command. The minute Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him command, he will blow it. And there will be two trumpets. The first one, when it will happen, everybody, whatever they're doing, they will drop dead. They will drop dead right there. And this trumpet, this word surah is also come from that. Surah is something that really attracts you. So the sound of this trumpet will be something that people will be attracted towards it. And they will get up again when the second blown happen, and they will start walking. You know why? Because this sound will be starting slowly, and then it will move up, and it will be so loud that it will be impossible to avoid it, and people will automatically start walking. Can you imagine what you and I will be doing? How are we going to be waking up from our graves, and when the trumpet comes in our ear, how are we going to be walking? Because there's no choice. We will be walking. We will be walking. Try to imagine this. So, and the earth will shine with the light of its Lord. Can you imagine? The earth will shine with the lights of its Lord. Meaning, there will be no sun and moon that day. Remember, we just learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wrap up everything. The earth will be flat like a bread and white and smooth. And the heavens will be wrapped up in His hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, there will be no sun and moon. So the only light will be the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The noor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to imagine you being there at this scene. And record the records of the deed will be placed, and the prophets and the witnesses will be brought. Try to imagine the courthouse. When somebody has visited to the court, what happens? Judge is there, everybody's silent. And when the judge walks in and he puts his thing, and then everybody's silent, standing in front of him. Of course, there is no example for that day of judgment from this dunya. Just to understand that people will be fearful. And prophets and the witness will be brought, and it will be the it will be judged between them in truth, and they will not be wronged. ووفيت كل نفس ما عملت وهو أعلم بما يفعلون. And every soul will be fully compensated for what it did, and he is most knowing of what they do. Try to feel if you are standing in a, the jury is standing in for a few, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is standing in a, and the witnesses are there, the prophets are there, and you are standing as a criminal. What do we learn here? Shirk is a dangerous sin. It eats up good deeds. And the earth and skies will be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the trumpet will be blown and people will fall down. And Allah's Noor will be the only light there. Everything in the heart, intention, efforts, all things that are inside the heart, everything will be visible there. Today people can get away hiding anything and everything. But that day everything will be visible and every soul will be fully compensated and no one will be able to hide anywhere. And you know what? At least right now, if you're giving this information, do you know why? Out of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, undo your life now and start redoing it. Start doing it in a proper way. If whatever mistakes happen and happen, don't worry about it. Come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and move forward. Ayah number 71 to 75, there is no third option. This is the next step. After the trumpet is blown, after people have done lived through this dunya, now you are traveling into the next step of the Day of Judgment. Don't you see that you're actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making you travel? First the dunya is gone, then you die, then the trumpet blows, then you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, where are you going to go? There are only two directions. You know, in this dunya, when you go out, there are many directions. You can make right, you can make left, you can go straight, you can turn back. But over there, there are only two directions. And there are either right or left. And the right is Jannah, and the left is Jahannam. There is no third place. People say, let me just live my life of my choice, and I'll worry about it. Where those people are going to end up who live the life of a middle path? They do some sins, and they do some goodness, and they just assume that they're going to make it to the Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, be very clear in what you're going to be. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمْرًا. This is where the word Zumrah comes and the name of the surah comes in here. And those who disbelieve will be driven to hell in groups until when they reach it. Its gates are open and its keepers will say, did there not come to you messengers from yourself reciting to you the verses of your Lord and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? They will say, yes. But the word that is decree of punishment has come into an effect upon the disbelievers. Notice here what they will say. They will say, yes, we did find out. There were the book there. We had some friends who used to go to Quran class. And we had some people who used to tell us, come to Quran, come to Islam, come to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But we ignored it. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is saying, that's too late now. The decree has been befallen upon you. To them, it will be said, enter the gates of hell. قِيلَ دُخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. And the gates of hell to abide eternally therein, and wretched is the residence of the arrogant. What do we understand here? People who have arrogance that hinders them to accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will end up in hellfire. اللهم لا تجعلنا منهم. Now, the second group of people, who are they? وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ تَقُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى جَنَّةِ زُمْرًا. But those who fear their Lord. O Allah, make us fear yourself now, before it's too late. We'll be driven to the paradise in groups until when they reach the when they reach it, while its gates have been opened, and its keepers will say, peace be upon you. Can we try to imagine and hear this voice? Because this is all reality. It is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually made the paper is out, the questionnaire that was given to us in this dunya. If we fill it the right way, meaning all the information is out, all we have to do is just fill it the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, and they will hear these words. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءُوهَا وَفُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُهَا وَقَالَ لَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Can you imagine? All the doors of Jannah will be open and it will be said, Salamun alaykum. Peace be upon you. You have become pure. So enter it to abide eternally. How beautiful. Abide eternally therein. They will enter. May Allah make us among those. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Say it right now. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. And they will say, praise to Allah. And this is what the people of the Jannah will be saying. Can we say this right now? Alhamdulillah. And they will say, praise to Allah, who has fulfilled for us His promise, meaning Allah's promise are true, real, and made us inherit the earth. And so we may settle in paradise wherever we will. And excellent is the reward of righteous workers. Ajrul Amidin. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say excellent is the reward for those who wish for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say excellent for the reward who make dua for it. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Amilin. Amilin are the one who actually do something, who takes an action and then rely upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did their fair share and then rely on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see the angels surrounding the throne, exalting Allah with praise of their Lord. How beautiful. These people of Jannah, they will be seeing that the angels surrounding the throne, exalting Allah with praise of their Lord. And it will be judged between them in truth. And it will be said, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the world. Can we say it now? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Beautiful end of the beautiful surah with a beautiful note here that we need to choose our path. Which direction do we want to go? So what did we learn in this section? Quran is here as a warner for us. And warning is basically a blessing. People get scared of warning. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us so we can save ourselves now. And take this invitation seriously. Which invitation? The Quran that is inviting us to do something. And Jahannam has many doors. And you know what? There are 7 levels of Jahannam. And Jahannam is called Daraka. And the lowest level is for Munafiqeen. And the people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will these doors. And then we learn that beautiful Jannah. And it will be said, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds. If we understand that Allah is the Lord of the world now, it will be much easier for us to get into Jannah. In the next slide, we learn the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you go and go through some authentic sources, you will find the whole chapter, the book of Jannah, the book of Jahannam, in which you see that so many hadith about the description of Jannah. And once you start reading them, you don't want to get away, because now you physically daydream about Jannah. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the members of the first group to get into the paradise would have their faces as bright as full moon during the night, and the next to this group would have their faces as bright as the shining stars in the sky, meaning the people who will make it first, they will be like a full moon, the people who will make it after them, they will be like a shining stars in the sky, and every person would have 2 wives, and the marrow of their shanks would glimmer beneath the flesh, and there would be none without a wife in paradise. Anas bin Malik reported that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in paradise there is a street to which they would come every Friday. The north wind will blow and would scatter fragrance on their faces and on their clothes and would add to their beauty and loveliness. Try to imagine. Are you imagining? And then they would go back to their family after having an added luster to their beauty and loveliness. And their family would say to them, by Allah, you have been increased in beauty and loveliness after leaving us. And they would say, by Allah, you have also increased in beauty and loveliness after us. Meaning there will be only beauty and loveliness in Jannah. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the beautiful surah, another surah, Surah Mu'min, also called Surah Ghafir. Let's listen to the recitation of these first few ayahs, and then we'll continue with the tafsir. While you're listening to the recitation, start thinking how you want to be in Jannah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تنزيل الكتاب من الله العزيز العليم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إليه المصير ما يجادل في آيات الله إلا الذين كفروا فلا يغررك تقلبهم في البلاد
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة غافر. So far we have been learning about the Day of Judgment and the preparation of it and the two groups who will make it to either Jannah or Jahannam. And we learn about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never despair from His mercy. And now this beautiful surah begins with beautiful ayah. غافر الذنب قابل التوب شديد العقاب ذي الطول لا إله إلا هو إِلَيْهِ مَصِيرٌ The forgiver of sin, the acceptor of repentance, severe in punishment, owner of abundance. There is no deity except Him. To Him is the destination. Beautiful surah and beautiful ayah will come, inshallah. Hameen. تَنزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ The revelation of the book, that is the Quran, is from Allah, the exalted in might and knowing. The forgiver of sin, the acceptor of repentance, severe in punishment, owner of abundance. There is no deity except Him. To Him is the destination. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the forgiver of sin. No matter how huge the sin is, no matter how big the sin is, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafirizam. When we actually will make the inshallah, these night of powers, remember this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is ghafirizam. He will forgive whatever I have done in the past, and He will make it easy for me. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is qabil at-tawb. Meaning, He's the acceptor of the tawbah. When a person repents to Him with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it. Do you feel the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now? Does your heart fill with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now? Do you understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now? Nobody else can give you this much peace. Nobody else on the face of this earth can give you this much reward. Nobody on the face of the earth can give you this much comfort. The comfort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you and I, nobody can. No matter how much luxurious beds and furniture you can buy, the comfort you cannot buy. Comfort is something that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contentment you cannot buy in the store. These huge malls that you see, miles and miles of walking and shopping, hundreds of stores, you cannot buy contentment from them. You cannot buy forgiveness there. And you cannot buy the comfort there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, غَافِرَ الذَّنْبِ This just first two words should be enough to make us happy that we're Muslim and make us happy that we can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the ability to seek forgiveness, the ability to get to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَافِرَ الذَّنْبِ, it is also mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people who may go through some downfall and they don't realize it, that they have hope. This word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives so much hope and so much happiness and so much reward because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ Meaning, He is all forgiving and He is شَدِيدِ الْعِقَابِ too. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, severe in punishment, but He's also owner of abundance. Meaning, yes, He is شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ but He is also owner of abundance. meaning he has so much. If he keeps on giving, it will never be enough. It will never make any dent. And if people keep on making mistake and keep on coming back with a right, sincere heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. There is no deity except him. Oneness of Allah. That's what makes the dua to be accepted. Say it. La ilaha illahu. There is no one besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? Ilayhi al-masir. I have to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To him is my destination. So what is keeping me doing all the things that I want to in this dunya? What is it that keeps me busy in this dunya? How come I'm not getting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting me back? So this ayah really is an ayah of hope and mercy and tawbah. Inshallah. مَا يُجَادِلُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَا يَغْرُرْكَ تَقَلُّبُهُمْ فِي الْبِلَادِ. No one disputes concerning the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except those who disbelieve. So be not deceived by their inhibited movement throughout the land. Meaning when people are prosperous in this dunya, that doesn't mean they're forgiving too. You know why? Because this is their test and they don't know. And then we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends about the people of the Nuh deny before them and the disbelieving factions after them, and every nation intended a plot for their messenger to seize them, to seize him. They disputed by using falsehood to attempt to invalidate thereby the truth. So I seized them, and how terrible was my penalty. And thus, has the word that is decree of your Lord come into effect upon those who disbelieve that they are companions of the fire? Allazina yahmiluna al-arsha wa man hawlahu, those angels who carry the throne and those around it, exalt Allah with praise of their Lord and believe in him and ask forgiveness for those who believe, saying, our Lord, you have encompassed all the things in mercy and knowledge, so forgive those who have repented and followed your way and protect them from the punishment of the hellfire. In ayah number 7, who is making dua? The angels. What are they making dua for? For us, you and I, the one who actually seeks forgiveness. Angels say ameen for it. Angels make dua for that person. Can you imagine? You and I are given such a status. If a person repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make angels make dua for them. This is the status Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us. And people are not ready to take it. People don't know. People live the life of ghafla. They have no idea what are they missing out. So, what do we learn in this ayah? وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The angels make dua for those who believe. What is the dua they make? رَبَّنَا وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَعْبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِيهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. Meaning, our Lord, you have encompassed all things in mercy and knowledge, so forgive those who have repented and followed your way and protect them from the punishment of hellfire. O Allah, make us qualified to be the one whom angels make dua for. Can we make dua right now about that? Alhamdulillah. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Our Lord, and admit them to gardens of perpetual residence which you have promised them, and whoever was righteous among their forefathers, their spouses and their offspring, indeed it is you who is exalted in might and wise. Imagine angels are making all these dua, not just for you, but for your family too, for your Abba too, for your Zuriya too, meaning everybody. All of them are qualified for the dua of the angels because of the repentance. This is the benefit of repentance. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَفِرِ الذَّنْبِ. He is the forgiver of all. And protect them from the evil consequences of their deeds. And he whom you protect from evil consequences, that day you will have given him mercy. And that is the great attainment. Look at the detailed du'as they are asking. O Allah, accept all these du'as and on our behalf, what the angels can make for us, inshallah. So what did we learn in this paragraph? Angels make du'as for those who do tawbah and then do follow, meaning do the ittiba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try their best to live their life by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. So this is why we really need to understand what tawbah really means. Tawbah doesn't mean that person says, oh Allah forgive me and that's it. And you do the same thing, that live the same life the next day too. Tawbah means when you really feel it from your heart. Number one, you admit it. Number two, you feel it. Number three, you want to be forgiven. You are asking for it. And number four, you have the desire that you're not going to continue the same lifestyle that you had before. And then you're going to reform it, meaning do better from what you did in the past. And this is what tawbah is. And that's when the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are the ones who are entered in Jannah. So this is why رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ عَدْنِ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ وَمَنْ سَلَحَ سَلَحَ. Okay, so it's very important we're making dua for all, angels are making dua for all of us. So why? Because we do tawbah and Allah SWT is all forgiving. Ayah number 10 to 20, hearts will be fearful of those who إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنَادُونَ لَمَقْتُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ مِن مَقْتِكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ إِذْ تُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ فَتَكْفُرُونَ. Indeed, those who disbelieve will be addressed. The hatred of Allah for us was even greater than your hatred of yourself this day in hell when you were invited to faith, but you disbelieved, that is, refused. They will say, our Lord, you made us lifeless twice and gave us life twice and we have confessed our sins. So is there to any exit anyway? Notice here, they will be asking, can we just get out of here? Is there any way that we can save ourselves? Look at the regret. Look at the question they're asking. Because it will be too late. They will be told, that is because when Allah was called upon alone, you disbelieve. Notice here, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if others were associated with him, you believe, so the judgment is with Allah, the Most High, the Grand, meaning the shirk is unforgivable sin, unless people realize it in this dunya, who Allah save us from any and all kinds of shirk in our lives. It is he who shows you signs and sends down to you from the sky provision, but none will remember except he who turns back in repentance. So invoke Allah being sincere. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Highlight this ayah number 14. Because in this ayah, we're told, فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. So invoke Allah being sincere to him in religion, although the disbelievers dislike it. So we, since disbelievers dislike it, so we need to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being sincere to him only. We're not going to make any more dua to anybody else. We're just going to ask directly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't need people in our lives. We need Allah in our lives. He is exalted above all degrees, owner of the throne. He places the inspiration of his command into revelation upon whom he wills of his servants to warn of the day of meeting. The day they came forth, nothing concerning them will be concealed from Allah. To him belongs all sovereignty this day, to Allah, the one, the prevailing. This day, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the owner and nobody will be there who can say anything. This day, every soul will be recompensed for what it earned. No injustice today. Indeed, Allah is swift in account. Allah, truly do easy hisab on us. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. Say this dua. Allahumma hasibni hisaban yaseera. And warn them, O Prophet, of the approaching day. Did Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warn us? Yes, he did. Are we learning this ayah right now? Alhamdulillah. Are we being warned? Yes, alhamdulillah. When hearts are at the throats, filled with distress for the wrongdoers, there will be no devoted friends and no intercessor who is obeyed. Meaning, the hearts will be on their throat. They will be so scared that day. Why? Because people live a life of ignorance in this dunya. He knows that which deceives the eye and what the breast conceals. And Allah judges with truth, while those they invoke besides him, judge not with anything. Indeed, Allah is the hearing and seeing, deceives the eye. Which eye? What did they see, saw with that eye in this dunya? You know, when people have so much things in their lives, their eyes are filled with all kinds of filth. Upon seeing all those things, when their hearts are filled with all kinds of filth of this dunya, this is why the love of Allah doesn't enter. This is why these people who are too busy entertaining themselves, they find Quran boring. They come and they walk out. Halfway out, they drop out. Why? Because their hearts are not there. Because their eyes are too busy entertaining themselves. This is why Allah SWT is saying here that Allah SWT is Sami'ul Basir. He's the one who's seeing everything. And he's the one who knows and hears everything. Have they not traveled? So what did we learn in this section? In this section we learned that لَمِنَ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, meaning at that day, all the mulk, all the kingship, all the ownership will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. So might as well make the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be my mulk, be my malik in this dunya, be my malik of my nafs in this dunya, and only call upon Allah with sincerity. Tonight, the night of power is there. Fadullaha mukhlisin. Be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we make dua, and only make dua to Him with full conviction. And we learn about the eyes and seek forgiveness. And Allah knows gestures, even the intention, even what's inside the heart. Allah knows about it. Ayah number 21 to 27. Ego becomes hindrance. Because of the ego, people don't come. Ayah number 21. Have they not traveled through the land and observed how was the end of those who were before them? They were greater than them in strength and in impression on the land. But Allah sees them for their sins, and they had not from Allah any protector. Meaning, Allah SWT is saying they were more stronger people than you, and they're the ones who were not saved. So you think you can make tall buildings today and you're safe? You think you can make bunkers and you're safe? You think you can confide yourself in fortresses and you're safe? You think your technology can save you? Nothing can save you. That was because their messenger were coming to them with clear proofs, but they disbelieved. To Allah sees them. Indeed, He is powerful and severe in punishment. And we did certainly send Moses with our signs and a clear authority to Pharaoh, Haman, Qarun. These are the characters we need to look for in our lives. But they said, he is a magician and a liar. And when he brought them the truth from us, they said, kill the sons of those who have believed with him and keep their women alive. But the plan of the disbelievers is not except in error. And Pharaoh said, let me kill Musa and let him call upon his Lord. Indeed, I fear that he will change your religion or that he will cause corruption in the land. But Musa said, indeed, I have sought refuge in my Lord and your Lord from every arrogant ones who does not believe in the day of account. Notice here, arrogance, arrogance, arrogance. O Allah, save us from all and makes you arrogant. O Allah, take care of our ego. So what did we learn in this paragraph? Strength and advancements cannot save us. People cannot say, now we live in this. People say, you know what? This Quran is for old times. Now we are technologically advanced people. We have this and we have that. And we can save and we can do this and all that. We have computers today. We have this chip, microchip. We can record everything in there. And we can travel. All these things people come up with. Allah SWT is saying, no advancement will save you. Allah can save from the midst of the enemy. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved the baby Musa in the midst of the enemy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the prophet Yunus from the belly of the fish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Maryam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Zakaria alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the torment of the Makkan people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can save you and I from midst of our enemy. And people are fearful of change their old ways and they want to follow their own way despite of the information that they get. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, this dua that we should be making too. Musa alayhi salam was the weakest one and yet saved, right? Fir'aun was the strongest one and yet drowned. Musa alayhi salam was a baby, cannot even help himself, and he was in a river too. But did he drown? No. Why? Because he was with Allah, Allah was with him. Fir'aun drowned despite of all the power. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not in his side. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can save you and I, no matter how tough the situation may be. And fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 28 to 37, a believer only fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a believing man from the family of Pharaoh who concealed his faith said, do you kill a man merely because he says, my Lord is Allah, while he has brought you clear proof from your Lord? And if he should be lying, then upon him the consequences of his lie. But if he should be truthful, there will strike you some of what he promises you. Indeed, Allah does not like one who is transgressor and a liar. O my people, sovereignty is yours today. You are being dominant in the land. But who would protect us from the punishment of Allah? If it came to us, Pharaoh said, I do not show you except what I see, and I do not guide you except to the way of the right conduct. People who are doing wrong, they think they are doing wrong. What is the worst thing that can happen to a person? Do you know? The worst thing that can happen to a person is that if they don't know if they're doing wrong. They don't know that they don't know. That's the worst thing. And this is what exactly happened to Pharaoh. And he who believed said, O my people, indeed, I fear for you a fate like the day of the companies can like the custom of the people of Nuh and of Ad and Samud. And those after them, and Allah wants no injustice for his servants. And, O my people, indeed, I fear for you the day of calling, Yawm al-Tanad. The day you will return your backs fleeing, there is not for you from Allah any protector, and whoever sends stray, there is not but for him any guide. And Yusuf has already came to you before with clear proof, but you remained in doubt of that which he brought to you until when he died, you said, never will Allah send a messenger after him. Thus does Allah leave astray he who is a transgressor and skeptic. Those who dispute concerning the signs of Allah without an authority, having come to them, great is hatred of them in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the sight of those who have believed. Thus Allah does seal over every heart belonging to an arrogant tyrant. Notice here, arrogancy seals the heart. This is why people are not able to see the truth. And Pharaoh said, O Haman, construct for me a tower that I might reach you the ways. Meaning he's making fun of the deen. He's saying, come on, if your God is so true God, then let's make a ladder or a building, tall building, which I can climb up and see the Lord. This is how arrogance makes the heart. This is how people become when they have arrogance in their heart. They make fun of Na'uzubillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 37, the way into the heavens so that I may look at the deity of Musa, but indeed, I think he is a liar. And thus was made attractive to Pharaoh the evil of his deed. And he was averted from the right way, and the plan of the Pharaoh was not except in ruin. What do we learn in this paragraph? Iman gives you confidence and relies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Musa alayhi salam was able to speak up the truth in front of the tyrant ruler. And what else we learn? Do not make fun of deen. Ego makes religion means nothing. Meaning, they don't consider religion important enough. Today we see the same thing. People who have even a little bit of ego, they consider, oh, these religious people. Oh, these boring people. This is because they think of themselves, they're better. That's why, may Allah save us all. Sinners can get hidayah, but arrogant one cannot. This is why people who may do a lot of sin, they can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they can get hidayah. But the arrogant ones don't come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they never get hidayah. Have desire of guidance for others. This is what today's theme is. Be a da'i, have desire, long for others' guidance, inshallah. And only good deeds will come in handy on the day of judgment. Meaning, collect the good deeds, inshallah. Ayah number 38 to 50, what are we learning here? وَقَالَ الَّذِي آمَنَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُونِ أَهْدِكُمْ سَبِيلَ الرَّشَّادِ. And he who believed said, O my people, follow me, I will guide you to the way of right conduct. O my people, this worldly life is only temporary enjoyment, and indeed the hereafter. Indeed, the hereafter, that is the home of permanent settlement, Darul Qarar. O Allah, let us see the Darul Qarar. Let us prepare for the Darul Qarar. And whoever does an evil deed will not be recompensed except by the like thereof. But whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, while he is a believer, those will enter paradise, being given provision therein without account. And O my people, how is it that I invite you to salvation while you invite me to fire? This is the ayah to be highlighted. When people in your family try to say, oh, you don't need to do hijab, you look old, tell them this ayah. وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِيَا أُدُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجْوَىٰ. Or, oh my people, how is it that I invite you to salvation? And why you invite me to the fire? Meaning, why should I listen to you? You're telling me to do something that is against what Allah SWT is saying. What a beautiful way to answer. So when somebody pressures you to do something against Allah SWT, then share this ayah with them. And you invite me to disbelieve in Allah and associate with Him, and that you and that of which I have no knowledge, and I invite you to the exalted in might, the perpetual forgiver. And assuredly, that to which you invite me has no response to a supplication in this world or in the hereafter. And indeed, our return is to Allah. And indeed, the transgressors will be companions of the fire. And you will remember what I now say to you, and I entrust my affair to Allah. Indeed, Allah is seeing of His servants. Ayah number 44 is another response that you should highlight and save it for yourself. Because in this you are saying, وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Meaning, whatever I'm advising you, if you're not taking my advice, that's fine. But you know what? I leave my matters in the hand of Allah SWT, because Allah SWT knows that I told you on a day of judgment, you will regret that I didn't listen to this person who was advising me to change my friendship, who was advising me to come back to Allah, and who was advising me to do all the good. People, you know, kids usually say to their mothers, Mom, come on, you're always telling me something. Stop, I don't want to listen to all this. Tell this sentence to them. You are saying all this, but I am telling you, if you listen to me, because on a day of judgment, you will regret. I am the one who's telling you all this because for your own good. I don't want anything in return from you. And my affairs are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُفَرِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. In fact, highlight this phrase, وَأُفَرِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. You know why? Because when we are desperate and sometimes hurt in this dunya, instead of replying, you should say this. I would entrust all of my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah protects him from the evils they plotted, and the people of Pharaoh, who enveloped by the worst of punishment, the fire, they are exposed to it morning and evening, and the day the hour appear, it will set, make the people of the Pharaoh enter the severest punishment. And mention when they will argue within the fire, and the weak will say to those who had been arrogant, indeed, we were only your followers, so will you relieve us of a share of the fire? Meaning there will be argument going on, they will be fighting for this. Those who have been arrogant will say, indeed, all of us are in it. Indeed, Allah has judged between the servants. And those in the fire will say to the keepers of the hell, supplicate your Lord to lighten for us a day from the punishment. Notice here. Look at the desperation in their sentence. They're saying, Udu Rabbakum, to the keepers of the hell, Yukhaffif anna yawman min al-azab. Meaning, just lighten the punishment only for one day. Can you imagine? Only for one day they're asking, because they think even if one day they're saying lighten, they're not even saying to completely get off the punishment. They're saying just lighten it. Can you imagine? Can you feel the desperation? May Allah save us all from this desperation. They will say, did they not come to you, your messenger, with clear proofs? They will say, yes. Bala, highlighted. They will say yes then. People may say no all they want, but they will end up saying no yes there. Bala qalu fad'u wa ma da'u al-kafirina illa fi dhalal. Yes, they will reply. Then supplicate yourself, but the supplication of the disbelievers is not accepting error. Meaning, it will be too late then. May Allah truly save us from all this. So what do we learn from this? Speak haq, no matter what it is, no matter which situation you are in, speak truth. And have the heart that wants the best for others. member. Be a da'iya lillah. Want the best for your friends and family. The one you whom you love in this dunya so much, want this Quran for them too. Remind, give advice, make them think, ask them question, what is it that is stopping them? One day, no one will be there to advise you. Value those advices that people are giving you. And there is nothing in our hands except Allah wills. Give your affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ayah 49, try to feel the cry of the people of Jahannam when they are requesting only for one day lighten it. In the next paragraph, slide, you see narrated Abdullah bin Umar, when anyone of you dies, he is shown his place, both in the morning and the evening. If he is one of the people of the paradise, he is shown his place in it. And if he is from the people of the hellfire, he is shown his place therein. Then it is said to them, said to him, this is your place till Allah resurrect you on the day of resurrection. This is 1379 Bukhari. Narrated Abu Hurairah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will declare war against him who shows hostility to a pious worshipper of mine, and the most beloved things with which my slaves come nearer to me is what I have enjoined upon him. And my slaves keeps on coming closer to me through performing nawafil, meaning extra good deeds, till I love him. So I become his sense of hearing with which he hears, and his sense of sight with which he sees, and his hands with which he grips, and his legs with which he walks. And if he asks me, I will give him. And if he asks my protection, I will protect him. That is, give him my refuge. And I do not hesitate to do anything as I hesitate to take the soul of the believers. For he hates death and I hate to disappoint him. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself becomes the hands and eyes of a person when a person becomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is too huge, too powerful, but he still loves the place who comes to him. May Allah make us among those. This is Bukhari 6502. In the next paragraph, ayah number 51 to 60, we learn Allah's promises are true. Indeed, we will support our messengers and those who believe during the life of this world. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we will support them in this life too, and on the day when the witness will stand, the day their excuses will not benefit the wrongdoers, and they will have the curse, and they will have the worst home. And we said certainly, given Musa guidance, and we caused the children of Israel to inherit the scripture and guidance as guidance and a reminder for those of understanding. As guidance of and reminder for those of understanding. Ya ulil albab, O people, understand them now. And so be patient, O Prophet. Indeed, the promise of Allah is truth. And ask forgiveness for your sin. And exalt Allah with praise of your Lord in the evening and the morning. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep on telling us about Jannah, Jahannam and forgiveness. This juz is all about asking forgiveness. And indeed, those who dispute concerning the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any evidence having come to them, there is not within their breast except pride, the extent of which they cannot reach. So seek refuge in Allah. Indeed, it is He who is hearing and seeing. The creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of the mankind, but most of the people do not know. Look at the sky outside. Do you think that's a big structure? If Allah can create that, do you think He cannot create you again? وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ. And not equal are the blind and the seeing, nor are those who believe and do the righteous deed and the evildoer. Little do you remember. How come two people can have the same result? How come those who are actually striving and saving themselves and depriving themselves from having entertainment in this dunya of their kind, and their friends are really indulging in it, and their friends are really buying huge houses based on interest, and here is a pious believer who's trying to choose to live in an apartment or a small house which he can afford. Do you think the result will be the same? How can that be? It cannot be the same. This is the question. And indeed, the hour is coming, no doubt about it, but most of the people do not believe. And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond you. Highlight this. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will respond you. Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter hell, rendered contemptible. It is Allah who made for you the night that you may rest therein and the day given sight. Indeed, Allah is the possessor of the bounty for the people, but most of them are not grateful. Lot of people are not grateful. May Allah make us among those who are grateful slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Allah, your Lord, creator of all things. There is no deity except Him. So how are you deluded? So what have we learned in this paragraph? The universe is huge and the creator of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything and do righteous deeds, and Quran is a hidayah and advice for all of us. In the next paragraph, ayah number 61 to 68, we learn, I give in, O Allah. I'm not gonna resist anymore. I wanna give myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah 63, thus were those before you deluded who were rejecting the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah who made for you the earth a place of settlement and the sky a structure that is ceiling, and formed you and preferred you, perfected your forms and provided you with good things. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنْ صَوَّرَكُمْ, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your faces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your form, the way He made it, He has perfected you. In other words, no complaint about your feature, no complaint about your skin texture and color. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have perfected you. You know, when people complain about their faces, you know what they're doing? They're saying, oh Allah, I'm not happy with your decision. You did it wrong. I don't like your design. That's what we're saying. So never complain about your looks. And that is Allah, your Lord. Then blessed is Allah, Lord of the worlds. He is the ever living. There is no deity except Him. So call upon Him. How should you call upon Him? Mukhlisina lahuddin. Call upon Him with sincerity. Can we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us sincerity? Because even as if for sincerity we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we make dua all day long, if there is no sincerity, the du'as are not accepted. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sincere to Him in religion, all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the world. O Allah, make us sincere to our religion. Say Prophet, indeed, I have forbidden to worship those you call upon besides Allah once the clear proofs have come to me from my Lord, and I have been commanded to submit to the lords of the world. It is He who created you from the dust, then from a sperm drop, then from a clinging cloth, then He brings you out as a child, then He develops you that you reach your time of maturity, then further, then you become elders. And then among you is He who is taken in death before that, so that you reach a specified term, and perhaps you will use reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides who gets to live how much age. Some kids die at the age, the minute they're born, they die. And sometimes people are taken away at the age of 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. You and I have no power to decide who's going to live what age. And different stages of life is discussed in here as well. And He is who gives life and causes death. When He decrees a matter, He says be, and it is kun fayakun. If this kun fayakun becomes a part of our life, then we will not be despair from Allah's mercy. Be grateful and contemplate on human creation. And the nights Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it for Sakina. When a face is lit up with noor, if hearts are grateful. So don't worry about your looks only, but know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you. And if you have noor of iman in your heart, your face will look pretty to all. So in the next picture, you see the dot. You see the fertilization dot? This is how you were. This is how I was. And then 1 week conception and the 2 week conception, and then little embryos form 3 weeks and the 4 weeks. Look, don't even look like a baby then. Looks like a piece of meat, which is all curled up. And then the 5 weeks and the 7 weeks. And look at the 12 weeks. Even that is not very pretty. When the baby comes out, all of a sudden starts looking pretty. Isn't that amazing? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Ayah number 69 to 78, fleeing ignorance. What do we learn in this ayah? أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ أَنَّا يُصْرَفُونَ Do you not consider those who dispute concerning the signs of Allah? How are they averted? Those who deny the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning this Quran, and that which we send our messengers, they are going to know. When the shackles around their neck and the chains, they will be dragged. Can you imagine? In boiling water, then in the fire, they will be filled with flames. Then it will be said to them, where is that which you used to associate with him in worship? Other than Allah, they will say, they have departed from us. Rather, we did not use to invoke previously anything. Thus does Allah put straight the disbelievers. The angels will say, that was because you used to exult upon the earth, meaning you were ignorant and without right, and you used to behave insolently. Enter the gates of hell to abide eternally therein, and wretched is the residence of the arrogant. Arrogance, ego, all these things, insolence, all these things, O Allah, take it away from our hearts. Ayah number 77. So be patient, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, the promise of Allah is truth, and whether we show you some of what we have promised them, or we take you in debt, it is to us, they will be returned. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying we take you in debt? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And people say that no, debt is not something that can come to prophets. And we have already sent messengers before you. Among them are those whose stories we have related to you, and among them are those whose stories we have not related to you. And it was not for any messenger to bring a sign or a verse except by permission of Allah. So when the command of Allah comes, it will be concluded that is judged in truth, and the falsifiers will thereupon lose. So what do we learn here? Ignorance will not save you. People say, oh, I want to stay ignorant because if I learn it, then I'm going to have to follow it. This is a common phrase you hear from people all the time. No. I don't want to come to Quran class. But why? Because then I will know everything. And once I know, if I don't do it, I'm going to be punished. So ignorance, by being ignorant, you're going to be saved? This is the misconception people have. People think that by staying ignorant, they will be saved. No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ignorance is their game they are playing. They try to turn away. They try to play with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cannot fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. Allah's promises are true. They come true before and they can come true again. The best thing is awareness of deen. Let's say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, for blessing us with the awareness of our deen. And be a student of knowledge. In the next ayah number 79 to 85, be grateful to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah who made for you the grazing animals upon which you ride, and some of them you eat. Try to think of the favorite dish that you eat, of made out of meat. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a favor to you. And for you therein are other benefits, and that you may realize upon them a need which is in your breast, and upon them, upon ships you are carried. And think of the last vacation you took in a cruise. And he shows you his signs. So which of the signs of Allah do you deny? And have they not traveled through the land and observed how was the end of those before them? They were more numerous than themselves and greater in strength and impression on the land, but they were not availed by what they used to earn. Think of the Roman Empire and all those empires of the past. Where are they? They don't exist. And when their messengers came to them with clear proofs, they merely rejoiced in what they had of knowledge, but they were enveloped by what they used to ridicule, meaning their knowledge didn't save them. And when they saw our punishment, they said, we believe in Allah alone and disbelieve in that which we used to associate with him. But never did their faith benefit them. Once they saw our punishment, it is the established way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has proceeded among his servants, and the disbelievers thereupon lost all. Such a beautiful surah has just ended. Do not boast in any way. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be a thinker. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to become a thinker. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us ability to contemplate, and do not make fun of others. Very important. Let's listen to the recitation of the first couple of ayahs for the next surah, Surah Fussilat. Another name for Surah Fussilat is Hamim al-Sajda, and it's one of the Hamaim, which has so much information and so much good lessons in it, inshallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hamim. Tanzilum minar Rahmanir Rahim. كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم. This is a revelation from the entirely merciful, the specially merciful. تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم. Question. Isn't it تنزيل from الرحمن الرحيم? It is getting in your heart. It was revealed to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart. And when we learn Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it enter our heart. O Allah, keep us with this book until our last breath. Kitabun fussilat ayatuhu Qur'anan arabiyyan liqaumin ya'lamun. A book whose verses have been detailed in Arabic Quran for a people who know. As a giver of good tidings and a warner, but most of them turn away, so they do not hear. And they say, our hearts are within coverings, that is screen from that to which you invite us, and in our ears is deafness, and between us and you is a partition, so work, indeed, we are working. Say, O Prophet, I am only a man like you, to whom it has been revealed that your God is but one God. So take a straight course to Him and seek His forgiveness, and woe to those who associate others with Allah, those who do not give zakah. Very important. Zakah is part of our iman. We must take out zakah. People usually are not very careful about counting the zakah. Zakah is due once you have the saved amount for 1 year. Zakah is due upon. You know why? Because zakah purifies you. Zakah purifies your wealth, and zakah purifies everything. Those who do not give zakah in the hereafter, they are disbelievers. Indeed, those who believe and do righteous deed, for them is a reward uninterrupted. Notice here, أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. There is no supply chain management problem. There is no delayed order. There is no running out of supply. It is uninterrupted. أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. How beautiful it will be. And say, do not indeed disbelieve in He who created the earth in 2 days and attribute to Him equals. That is the Lord of the worlds, and He placed on it, that is the earth, firmly set mountains. So what do we learn in this paragraph? We learn that listen to kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and zakah is mandatory. You cannot skip and overlook it. And zakah is due more than on just gold and jewelry. It is due on assets too. So make sure that you find out what are some of the things you may have that you don't consider that they're part of the zakah, but there is zakah due upon them. And Quran deserves our time. We must take time out to learn this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then ayah number 9 to 18, we learn Allah's marvels. And what are they? And He has placed on it, that is earth, firmly set mountains over its surface. And He blessed it and determined therein its creature's sustenance in 4 days without distinction, For the information of those who ask, why Las Matala is mentioning 2 days and 4 days? So for us to know that for us it takes time. Allah Matala can do everything by saying kun fayakun, but it is the process that Allah Matala is teaching us. And without distinction, for the information of those who ask, then He directed Himself to the heavens while it was smoke and said to it and to the earth, come into being. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to just say it, come into being, and things happen. And come into being willingly or by compulsion. They said, we have come willingly. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the heavens and the smoke, come into being willingly or unwillingly. Meaning, it is the choice given to you and I. They came willingly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in the universe is serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willingly. It is us who don't come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes willingly. Oh Allah, make us come to Allah willingly. Make us come to Quran willingly when our hearts are in it, when we want to do it. And He completed them as 7 heavens within 2 days. 7 heavens within 2 days. We cannot even cook food for 20 people in 2 days sometimes. And inspired, that is made known in each heaven is its command. And we adorn the nearest heaven with the lamps, that is stars for the beauty and as protection. That is the determination of the exalted in might, the knowing. At night when it's very dark, have you ever been to camping or something? Try to look up at the sky when you are in a very dark, remote area, when there's no light. The stars is lit up with the shining stars and looks so beautiful. And, you know, there's a place, I don't know where I live, there's a place of some kind of a museum, and they have these telescopic structures, huge. You can go and do stargazing. This is the activity we should be doing with the kids too, because this is how they get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this stargazing and everything is becoming obsolete because people have no time to take away from the cell phones that they have. So try to plan these activities with your kids. Summertime is almost here. Take them out and let them see the stars. Go for camping. Let them connect with the nature, because this is the best gift we can give to our kids. But if they turn away, then say, I have warned you of a thunderbolt, like the thunderbolt that struck Ad and Samud. That occurred when before them and after them, saying, worship, worship not except Allah. They said, if our Lord had willed, He would have sent down the angel. So indeed, we in that with which you have been sent are disbelievers. As for Ad, they were arrogant. Notice here, arrogance again. They were arrogant upon the earth without right and said, who is greater than us in strength? Did they not consider then that Allah who created them was greater than them in strength? But they were rejecting our signs. So we sent upon a screaming wind during days of misfortune to make them taste the punishment of disgrace in the worldly life, but the punishment of the hereafter is more disgracing, and they will not be helped. As for Thamud, we guided them, but they preferred blindness over guidance. So the thunderbolt of humiliating punishment seized them for what they used to earn. And we saved those who believed and used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highlight this ayah, ayah number 18. Who are saved? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about all the punishment of all these previous nations. But who are saved? The people of taqwa. وَنَجَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Meaning, the believers who have taqwa. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develop taqwa in these 10 last nights of Ramadan. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us taqwa. You know why? Because taqwa is the way that, taqwa is basically the ladder that when once we step on the first step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase it to the next and the next. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to develop taqwa in ourselves, because once the taqwa comes in, the life becomes easy and the becoming the da'i, the idea, the mindset becomes easy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that people of taqwa are saved. So what did we learn here? Come to Allah willingly or not. Your choice. Remind ourselves about previous nations. and make dua that we learn lessons from them and we do not repeat the same arrogance that they had. Arrogant ones say, we are superpower. I am so good. Look, I am so smart. Today, we have arrogance in ourselves. We just don't realize it. We don't think this is arrogance in ourselves. You know, we think arrogant are those, you know, Fir'aun, the Haman, the Harun, all these big names. No, arrogance is within us too. When we actually take all the success to our hands, this is arrogance. People nowadays, this sentence is very common. Have you ever heard kids saying that? Oh, I'm so smart. I got all A's. Oh, look, mom, what did I make? I'm so good. And the minute they say something like that, you have to correct their sentence. You have to tell them, no, it is not you. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this arrogance, when a child says that, parents think it's so cute. But when they grow up and they say it, it becomes part of their body and mind. It is a mindset that they grow up. It is important that as a parent, you and I are responsible to teaching this to our kids, that this is not you, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does everything. And you know, sometimes we ourselves, they say that too, like, you know, today's dinner is so good. And then you have this feeling in your heart. You know, sometimes even if you don't say it, but when you have this facial gestures, your facial features tells you that you're feeling good inside your heart. This is also arrogance. This is why arrogance comes in very quietly and people just don't know that they're being arrogant. This is why it is important that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, no type of arrogance should come in me. And if I have any arrogance, let me know and let me take it out from myself. And the Prophet is humiliating. It's going to be really disgracing. And Allah fashioned this world with perfection. Allah is perfect. These are Allah's marvels that we're learning. And next, ayah number 19 to 25, my own body parts will speak and they are my spy. You know, consider of your body as not your own because it doesn't belong to you. This is just a container that you live in, right? So this container will be left in this earth. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us, these body parts, my hands, my eyes, my ears, my thighs, everything will become my enemy if they're not used the right way in this dunya. And they will speak against us. Ayah number 19. And mention, O Prophet, the day when the enemies of the Allah will be gathered to the fire while they are driven assembled in rows. Until which they reach it, their hearing and their eyes and their skin will testify against them of what they used to do. Even the skin will testify, this person used to do this take away here from this place and it's not allowed. And like, for example, eyebrows. So all these body parts will speak against us if we misuse them. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability to use our body parts in the right way, in the right place. Do the right things with our hands. Go to right places with our feet. Watch the right stuff with our eyes. And listen to something that is beautiful like Quran with our ears. And no gossip word, no ill words. And when they will say to their skins, why are you testifying against us? They will say, we were made to speak by Allah, who has made everything speak, and He created you the first time, and to Him you are returned. And you were not covering, that is protecting yourself, lest your hearing testify against you, or your sight, or your skin, but you assumed that Allah does not know much of what you do. Highlight this part. Don't people assume that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know? It's just me, nobody's going to find out, right? This is what the skin is going to say. You assumed that nobody knows. You assumed only. And that was your assumption, which you assumed, but your Lord, it has brought you to ruin and you have become among the losers. And so even if they are patient, the fire is a residence for them. And if they speak, if they ask to appease Allah, they will not be of those who are allowed to appease. And if we appointed for them companions who made attractive to them what was before them and what was behind them of sin, and the word, that is decree, has come into effect upon them among nations which had passed on before them of jinn and men. Indeed, they all were losers. What do we learn in this paragraph? take care of this body part. It will speak for or against and be in a good company so you are saved. Imam Al-Tabrani mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal up the mouths of these mushrikeen on the day of resurrection. Then their hands will start to speak relating to the act of the disobedience they engage in during this life. And then the thighs of their right leg will begin to speak of the sins the leg has committed in the worldly life. May Allah save us all. Ayah number 26-32. Allah is my Rabb. وقال الذين كفروا لا تسمعوا لهذا القرآن والغوا فيه لعلكم تغلبون. And those who disbelieve say, do not listen to this Quran and speak noisily during the recitation of it, that perhaps you will overcome. Meaning they try to stop people and they try to distract them from this Quran. Today also this happened. This was true then and this is true today too. When the minute the word Quran comes, people don't like it. People don't mind listening to lectures. People don't mind listening to their shuyukh's book. People don't mind listening to beautiful talks by given by people. But they do mind that they're invited to Quran. They say, no, not Quran. I do attend lectures. I do go to halaqas. I do listen to some good things. But when it comes to Quran, they find it heavy and they don't want to do that. May Allah save us all. But we surely cause those who disbelieve to taste a severe punishment, and we will surely recompense them for the worst what they had been doing. That is the recompense of the enemies of Allah, the fire. The fire. لَهُمْ فِيهَا دَارُ الْخُلْدِ. For them, therein is the home of eternity as recompense for what they of our verses were rejecting. And those who disbelieve will then say, our Lord, show us those who mislead us of the jinn and men, so we may put them under our feet, that they will be among the lowest. Indeed, those who have said, our Lord is Allah, and then remained on a right course. Two things are mentioned in this ayah. They will say, Rabban Allah, thumma istiqamu. Meaning, after iman, what's the most important thing we need to ask is istiqamah, steadfastness. This is why the dua, Rabbana afriq alayna wa thabbit aqdamana. Meaning, once iman is there, we have to stay firm or else iman will go away. So, Allah's mother is saying, they say, our Lord is Allah, and then remain on a right course, the angels will descend upon them. Can you imagine? The person of determination, Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all other prophets, stayed steadfast and firm in their religion despite of all the odds that were going on against them. They still stayed steadfast. This is why steadfast, and this is why angels were descend upon them. And the angels would say, do not fear and do not grieve, but receiving good tidings of the paradise which you were promised. Even today, when people try to stay steadfast and determined in hardship, and when the environment is against them and they don't give up their religion and they don't compromise, Allah puts sakinah in their heart too. We angels were your allies in worldly life and are so in the hereafter, and you will have therein whatever your soul desires, and you will have therein whatever you request or wish as accommodation from your Lord, who is forgiving and merciful. What did we learn here? Take care of your body parts and be in a good company, and have istiqamah, meaning firm, stay firm on your religion, and of course listen to Quran. And ayah number 33-44, we learn a message for da'i, very important and beautiful. What do we learn in this ayah? And وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And who is better in speech than one who invites to Allah and does righteousness and says, indeed, I am of the Muslim. This is the highlighted ayah for today's theme. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the one who is invites people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the one who has the best speech. Do we want this best speech? Do we want to be the person who has that speech? Do we want to be a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considering as the best speech? If yes, then say, labbaik, O Allah, I am here. I want to be a da'i. And then beautifully it says that, and he also does the righteous deeds. It's not like he invites others and he doesn't follow. He follows himself first and then he invites others and says, indeed, I am of the Muslims. And not equal are the good deeds and the bad. Repel evil by the deed, which is better. This is one of the quality a da'i needs to have. And what is that? Meaning, repel evil by the deed, which is better. Meaning, don't get down on their level. If they're screaming and yelling and taunting and cursing, don't get into their level. Repel evil with the good, with patience, with smile, with a lot of patience, because this is what the skill that is needed, or else a da'i cannot be a da'i. Because once you become a da'i, you have to bear whatever the people's attitude is. And people will be rude, people will call you names, people will let you down, people will cut you off. But this is what it takes to be a da'i. And you know what? When a da'i does work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves it. So what matters at the end of the day? People or Allah? That's the question. And which is better? And thereupon, the one whom between you and him is enmity will become as though if he was a devoted friend. It's not easy. Waliyun Hamid, meaning when you become nice to your enemies, that's what it takes until they become your friends. Because after some time, they're going to realize it. What is it that makes this person so calm? What is it that makes this person not to take revenge? I am trying to incite him. I am trying to revoke him. I am trying to make him say something. And he's not responding. And he's still being kind and nice. And he's still being gentle. What is it? And sooner or later, you'll win the hearts of your enemies. And but none is granted it except those who are patient, and none is granted it except one having a great portion of good. And if there comes to you from shaitan an evil suggestion, then seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, he is hearing and knowing. And of his signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Do not prostrate to the sun or to the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them. And if it should be him, then were that you worship. But if they are arrogant, and again, arrogance, then those who are near your Lord, that is the angels, exalt him by night and the day, and they do not become weary. And of his signs is that you see the earth still, but when we set down upon it rain, it quivers and grows. Indeed, he who has given it life is the giver of life to the dead. Indeed, he is over all things competent. Indeed, those who inject deviation into our verses are not concealed from us. So is he who is cast into the fire better, or he who comes secure on the day of resurrection. Do whatever you will. Indeed, he is seeing of what you do. Indeed, those who disbelieve in the message that is Quran after it has become after it has come to them, and indeed it is a mighty book. Falsehood cannot approach it from before it or from behind it. It is a revelation from a Lord. Is wise and praiseworthy. People were, from the day one, people trying to renounce Islam. It didn't go away. From the day one, people are against Quran. It didn't go away, and it will not go away. It will always be there. Nothing is said to you, O Prophet, except what was already said to the messengers before you. Indeed, your Lord is a possessor of forgiveness and a possessor of painful penalty. And if we had made it foreign, that is non-Arabic Quran, they would have said, why are its verses not explained in detail in our language? Is it a foreign recitation, an Arab messenger? Say, it is for those who believe a guidance and cure, and those who do not believe in their ears is deafness, and it is upon them blindness. Those are being called from a distant place. In this last ayah, we learned that the Quran should be learned in a language that you can understand. And ayah number 45, in the next slide, you see the hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Bilal, at the time of dawn prayer, O Bilal, tell me of the most hopeful deed you practice in Islam. I heard the scuffle of your sandals before me in paradise. Bilal said, The most hopeful deed to me is that I do not perform ablution by day or night, that I pray along with him with it as much as Allah decreed me to pray. Bilal radiallahu anhu was a caller. He was a da'i. He used to call Adhan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his ads so much so that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard his footsteps in the Jannah. This is the reward of the caller who calls for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, make sure that we also teach our kids to give adhan, and they are the one who become the caller for the salah. And if they call salah, encourage them. If they do adhan, appreciate them, because this is the quality that you and I can instill, and this is the gift we can give, because they are. And share this ayah about who is the best da'i, who is the best caller with them, inshallah. Ayah number 45 and 46. We learn reward of punishment. And we have already given Musa the scripture, but it came under disagreement. And if not for the word that is decree, that proceeded from your Lord, it would have been concealed between them. And indeed, they are concerning it, that is the Quran, in disquieting doubt. Whoever does righteousness, it is for his own soul. The Jews is ending on a beautiful note. Know that whoever does righteousness, it is for his own soul. And whoever does evil, does so against it. And your Lord is not ever unjust to his servants. What do we learn in this last ayah? That if you want to be a da'i of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is for your own good. And if you don't want to be, it is for your own decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not responsible. The human, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives information. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have given the da'wah, and he has already done this all his life. Until his last breath, he was doing da'wah. And this is a mission of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's make the that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us. If you go to the next slide, it is the dua we did in the morning. If you go to the next slide, the take home message is Allah loves those who invite others. And for this job, we will be needing the gratitude. We will be needing the yaqeen, meaning firm conviction. We will be needing the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be needing the desire to be guided. So this question you and I can take home. Allah loves those who invite others. So do I want to be the one? Then inshallah, if I want to be the one, then I'm going to have to make decision right now. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa asnidada. Sister Faiza, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Another forward step taken towards our short-term goal, inshallah wa ta'ala. Our long-term goal will be, inshallah, to learn Quran in depth. But, biznillah, we took another step forward. The topics of dua, istighfar, tawbah, hope are discussed throughout the juz. These reminders are so helpful, especially in this last ashra of Ramadan, when everyone is so desperate for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is striving for the maghfirah of their Lord, fearing of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hope of the rahmah of the most merciful. Everyone is in a spiritual zone, trying to maximize their spirituality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance came, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us his eternally grateful slave, and save us from the arrogance. Ameen, summa ameen. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we will share a point which we'll take home from today's session, which we have to ponder, or it touched our hearts. Inshallah wa ta'ala, we'll share quickly and then we'll do dua. And I know it's a long session for you guys, and then inshallah we'll conclude our class. Inshallah, we have to take care of the body parts. It will speak for or against. Exactly. Alhamdulillah. See, this gives us the insight that this is what we have to do. We have to do our islah. We have to use our body parts productively in within the limits of set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala develop our taqwa. Alhamdulillah. Ameen summa ameen. Never lose hope and do tawbah. Alhamdulillah. Our own body parts. My spy. Exactly. How important it is to be grateful, humble and not ignorant. When we do something wrong and we just assume nobody is watching us, you know. But you know, it'll be, you know, it'll be a shock when our body parts are saying, and we'll, our mouth will be zipped. We won't be able to talk. Arrogance is a cancer for believers indeed. Become a dai. Be in a good company. Quran deserves our time. Inshallah. Yes, it does. We should try to be a dai with, it's going so fast. Alhamdulillah. Warning is a blessing. Zakah is mandatory. Indeed it is. It is mandatory. Sleep is a sister of death. Yes, Alhamdulillah. That's what we understand now. Best manners, best to their neighbors. Alhamdulillah. I'm so glad that everybody picked up the different points and everybody has their own take. And then, inshallah, ta'ala, everybody can see these points they need to ponder on to. Take steps to earn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Speak haq. Every day we are giving a new life. Indeed, we are. And we have to be thankful. We have to be thankful for the blessing of the new life we have been given every morning after our Mawt-e Sughra. Yes, we have to be a thinker. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy takes over Israel. Indeed, it does. Indeed, it does. But that does not mean we just keep on thinking of mercy, 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 and then don't care about the wrath and be on our own whatever routine we are on. Right? So we have to consider that part too. We don't want to be, taken as a surprise. Guess what? There's wrath too. So be humble and grateful. Don't be ignorant. Exactly. Don't be ignorant. Be a student of knowledge, inshallah. And I'm hoping you all will be in next month, inshallah. Allah forgive us. Don't underestimate Allah's mercy. Yes, exactly. That's what I meant. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most forgiving, the most merciful, but we cannot underestimate. We cannot challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's powers. We cannot just, do so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to take any step. Have the heart that wants the best for others, inshallah wa ta'ala. Inshallah. If you are good inside, you feel good, then you will be good to others too. And it's a domino effect. It's very contagious. Whatever you do, it will come back to you, inshallah wa ta'ala. Have the heart that wants the best for others. Allah promises are true. Indeed, they are true. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. A very, very beneficial lesson, we all took. And let's conclude our class and let's do dua. Become a mu'min for whom angels make du'as. Ameen, summa ameen. Ameen, summa ameen. And you know what? All the du'as you are making, Allah, the angels guarding us, guarding this gathering, inshallah wa ta'ala, they are saying ameen to all. And inshallah wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant all the acceptance for all the du'as, inshallah. May angel welcome us all to heaven and salam to all of us. Ameen, ameen summa ameen. Ameen. Ya Allah, you have blessed us with 20 fasts. Ya Allah, grant us the blessings of these last 10 fasts too. Ya Allah, help us strive for Laylatul Qadr. Ya Allah, honor us to meet Laylatul Qadr. Ya Allah, we beg for your mercy, your rahmah. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful. Ya Allah, you are the As-Sami, and you are the knower of the secrets of the hearts. Please accept our du'as. Ya Allah, guide us to the deeds done the right way. Ya Allah, I am weak and have lot of shortcomings. Ya Allah, grant me strength and hikmah to overcome them. Ya Allah, grant health to all the sick. Ya Allah, have mercy to Muslim Ummah. Ya Allah, help my Muslim brothers and sisters everywhere. Ya Allah, help me to be the best da'i ilallah. Ya Allah, save me from the regrets of tomorrow. Ya Allah, guide me, grant me wisdom to make the decisions best for my akhirah. Ya Allah, honor me with your love, your kalam's love, and your blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's love. Ya Allah, honor me with the sight of your blessed face. Ya Allah, please honor me among those who will receive Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's shafa'ah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Rabbana srif anna azab jahannam, inna azabaha kana gharama. إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربي أعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين وأعوذ بك ربي أن يحضرون. ربي أوزيني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله علانيته.